This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. This week, we are sharing some of the behind-the-scenes and in-front-of-the-scenes staff here at NPR Illinois, as we try to make the case also that it's that time to give. It's the year-end drive, so we appreciate you going to nprillinois.org, clicking on the donate button at the top. This is not a pitch. This is an opportunity to get to know folks better. This person I don't know very well on staff, Michelle Eccles. Actually, Michelle Eccles McLaughlin is the full name, right?
Yes.
We'll start there. How did the professional name versus the legal name, how did all that evolve?
Well, I'd been in broadcasting for quite some time as Michelle Eccles, pretty much since high school. I'd established myself as Michelle Eccles as my professional name. So when I got married, I felt like it made sense to just stay as Eccles rather than make that transition.
So Michelle Eccles, frequently mistaken by folks who ask me in the community as my wife. No, she is my sister.
Correct.
The family has some radio background also because another couple members have done radio here in the market.
On my side, yes. My husband, Joey McLaughlin, did radio on Cool 101.9 and 93.9, whatever it became, and then also on WTAX most recently. He's currently transitioned out of doing radio, but did radio for years. That's how we met. His brother, Danny, went by Danny Russell. He'd done radio in Taylorville for quite some time. He also did some radio here in Springfield at WMAY way back. Also was at Channel 20 as a weather guy on the weekends sometimes. That was a while ago as well, but he has also transitioned out of radio.
So. Somehow that media gene caught us.
That's right. That's right. Well, and then our great uncle, he had done some radio and things like that down in New Orleans for a while, too.
Some of that we didn't find out till
right.
We were already in it. When you talk about meeting Joey there, your trajectory was you were working in Decatur?
Yes, Joey and I met in Decatur. I had been doing radio. I graduated college from Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, which is where I went for radio television. I worked at WSIU FM down there, so that's kind of where I started as far as NPR was concerned, was when I was a student. I was a student reporter there pretty much throughout almost my whole time at Carbondale. I really enjoyed that. I got to go cover city council and all of those types of things. And then I transitioned, and when I graduated, it was a time when there were huge lines at the Sheraton in downtown Chicago of people trying to get jobs. It was not a good time to be looking for a job, so I was a little concerned that I wasn't going to find anything. For those of you who don't know, broadcasting doesn't always pay that great. I had interviewed for a job in Wyoming, in Sheridan, Wyoming, and got offered it, but it was such a low pay. I was concerned about going that far away and then never being able to come back because I wouldn't have any money to do that. So I turned it down and was really fearful that that was the wrong move, but it ended up being fine. I had done an internship at WBBM TV in Chicago during my time in Carbondale and got to know Tom Serafin. Some of you may be familiar with him. He was in the PAR program here and is an alumni who does a lot of work with the Alumni Association. He had a PR firm, still does. I started working for him because of my internship. I had met his wife, started playing softball with CBS, and got to know him through that, developed a relationship and started working for him. It was supposed to be kind of a part-time, full-time job. It was supposed to be like through election season. I ended up staying on and learned a great deal from him as far as PR. I really wanted to get back to broadcasting. I had gone up to Platteville, Wisconsin to see the Bears in the fall, the summer training camp. While I was there, I met a person that I had gone to high school with, Randy Merkin, who still is doing radio as well. We had a high school radio station, for those of you who don't know. Randy Merkin, who now works for ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He's a producer for one of the programs there. He was working at the radio station in Platteville. When I was there, he's kind of like, hey, we really could use a sports person to help us out. And I was like, okay, I'll apply. So I ended up going there in October of that year and stayed there for 4 months and then moved to Decatur. Started working in Decatur, met Joey and Steve Michaels, who has done some recent work here for Community Voices. They were partners on Y103 and WSOY in Decatur. And I started doing the Sidekick News for them and then working as a news reporter on WSOY AM. Got my feet on the ground there as far as a news person. It's a great news town. While I was there, there were like strikes at Firestone and Caterpillar. There was a lockout at AE Staley. There were some significant news stories, unfortunately, around crime, the Karen Hearn-Slover case. There was a three-year-old, Sarah Kramer, I think was her name, that was kidnapped. All kinds of interesting news stories. And then, of course, we had the 1996 back-to-back tornadoes, one on Thursday night, one on Friday night, which were were huge.
Did one of those go over your head?
It did. It went over the radio station. And I'm not a big fan of tornadoes. I was in the station in a studio similar to this with no windows, but the SOI building, it like concrete blocks. So I felt pretty safe, unlike some of the buildings that I've been in since then. Yeah, the Steve and Joey were outside and watched it go over, and they're like, and we had people running into the station for cover, and it was quite the experience. We broadcast there for several days about all of the aftermath and how to get people recovery, and there was an article in the paper, and it was kind of a cool experience. But that's where I met Joey.
Was there another person part of that team, Steve, Joey, you, and
Miles Copeland? Miles Copeland, who's here in the community in Springfield now. Many of you know him from Green Toyota. He was an integral part. He did sports for us. So I did news, Miles did sports, and then Steve and Joey were the team. We had a lot of good times together. I was there from 94 to 97. When I left, Joey and I had been dating for about a couple years. They sent me on a scavenger hunt for my last day. We went to different significant places. They had me go to like the Mount Zion McDonald's, and we knew the owners, so they had a clue there. And then I had to go to the transfer station in downtown Decatur, meet a very significant person, and that was State Representative Dwayne Nolan. So he had my next clue. Then I had to go to the zoo. I rode the train to get my next clue. And then I went to the Decatur Athletic Club to get my next clue. And the final clue was at the radio station. Well, what people didn't know is that Joey was going to propose to me with that final clue. So on my final day at SOI, he proposed. I said yes. The rest is history as far as that goes. We ended up getting married, and eventually he moved over here to do radio as well.
That ended up making the newspapers.
It did. David Burke was the entertainment reporter for the Decatur Herald and Review at the time. He called us up and he's like, hey, I heard something significant happened on the air this morning. Was wondering if I could talk to you guys. So we talked about it. They came, had a photographer come over. He did a nice little article about it. It was on the front page of the paper, but on the top page of the paper was an article about an axe murderer in Sullivan. Needless to say, we have the paper framed, but we took the top story off and just have the masthead from the paper and then our story.
Did you end up at the end as news director there?
I did. So I went from reporter to news director, had all kinds of awards that we won for coverage of news there. Very proud of the work that we did in Decatur that helped me launch into WTAX when I came over here as a reporter. But I was news director there for a year. When I came over to TAX, I was the morning show co-host for Morning News Watch, which they still do today, but it's a little different format. Originally, it was Steve Grzanich. Steve Grzanich now does news at WGN in Chicago. He and I co-anchored. Eventually, I became news director there, program director. Did all kinds of great work there as well. I mean, there's been all kinds of news that has happened over the 15 years that I was there, including the tornadoes that hit here in 2006, the Capitol shooting, 9/11, which is some of them. There were all kinds of news events that happened, a place where I earned a lot of awards because of our news coverage. I continue to hopefully carry that out here at NPR Illinois as well.
How did you find yourself here?
For years while I was at WTAX, Bill Wheelhouse and Sean had, especially Bill, had tried to get me to come over to NPR. I was committed to where I was at WTAX, didn't make that move, but then I went to Horace Mann in 2013. I decided that the hustle and bustle and 24/7 on-call nature of my job at TAX was not serving me well. I had three young kids. I made the switch to Horace Mann. I started there doing public relations. Then in 2018, Sean asked me if I could possibly think about doing mornings here at NPR Illinois on a part-time basis. I asked Horace Mann if they thought that would be all right. We made it work out. So I'm very careful about separating myself when it comes to those two jobs and making sure I'm fair and ethical about the way I do it. I currently do public relations and community relations for Horace Mann during the day. So I come here in the morning and host Morning Edition locally, and then I go to Horace Mann.
It's too bad we couldn't find somebody with experience to fill that role. You also ended up working with the IMBA as
the Illinois News Broadcasters Association. I had been involved with that as a student. I started at Carbondale in the SINBA chapter, which is the Student Illinois News Broadcasters Association. It's a great organization with a lot of broadcast professionals throughout the state of Illinois. I worked on their honors and awards committee for some time while I was involved, helped many students who wanted to pursue broadcasting get scholarships through the IMBA, also helped work on their awards program. Eventually, I became president of that organization sometime in the 2000s, was on their foundation for a while. I still am a member of INBA. It's a great organization. And again, it has leaders throughout the broadcast community throughout the state of Illinois. And as the profession has changed and media has changed, it's become more of a struggle. It's a great way for folks to exchange ideas to figure out how to make things work in today's world.
And all this ended up because of the opportunity we did together. When you were in what, fifth grade?
Yes, fifth grade. We had a high school radio station, WHFH, in Flossmoor, Illinois, in the south suburbs of Chicago. Randy was there as a student. He was very instrumental in getting me interested in broadcasting. He was a participant in the management of that radio station at our high school. When I went to visit him, he let me read news on the air. I was kind of hooked from then. I knew that that's what I wanted to do in high school. And for those of you who don't know, at Homewood Flossmoor, you have it's a great program. You have 4 years of broadcast communications that you do in your high school program. The first year is intro to broadcasting, and then production one, and then production two. You do a 55-minute documentary. You have to go out, you have to research your topic, you have to go get interviews, you have to then produce it, and then you have to do all of that live on the air. So you have like all your audio cut up and everything, your script done, you had to have an anchor for it, you were the director of the whole thing. You had 55 minutes exactly. If you went 1 second over or under, you got an F. You just had to learn the magic. You could use music to make that work. It said you have to be prepared, right? You have to have all your ducks in a row. You really have to be able to communicate with all of your crew. And it was a great experience. From there, in your third and fourth year, you interviewed for positions at the radio station. So you could do the business manager, which was the person like here at NPR Illinois, where you go out and you get grants so that you can do underwriting like Cafe Moxos, the SMTDs that we're doing recently. Those were the kind of folks that student would have to go out and get. That was a great experience. Then you had news director, you had program director, you had all kinds of different positions, and it was all students who interviewed for those jobs and then ran the radio station. And we were on the air not 24/7. We would come on and we would turn the station on. I think it was at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then I don't remember when we went off. I think it might have been midnight. I also did the E period where I would host a show from 7 to 8 or whatever that first period was. And that was also a lot of fun.
That's the professional background. Quite extensive.
Talk about my passion. Sorry.
Oh, it's awesome. You also have a life that's in balance. You have a family.
You'd like to think it's in balance. Sometimes I wonder, but I do have a family. So I have a 25-year-old, a 23-year-old, and a 21-year-old, and then my husband, Joey. Sarah's my oldest. She's going to med school. Natalie is my youngest. She's going to school in New Orleans. And then Jack lives here locally, and he works at Bank of Springfield. He also has a band. He's heavily involved in theater. Because of our kids' involvement in theater when they were kids, I've become very connected to the theater community since we started by ushering at the Muni when they were kids because it was a good opportunity for those who haven't taken advantage of this opportunity. You can volunteer to usher or do other things with the Muni. But if you volunteer to usher with your family, even if you have younger kids, you can do it as a family. That allows you to see the show for free. You have to do a little bit before, a little bit intermission, a little bit after, but then you get to see the show for free. So that's a good way to kind of get in. We ended up auditioning, the kids auditioned, and they got into some shows. It started the process of me being involved, and I became part of their promotions committee, which I have been for probably now a decade. And then I was president back in 2018. I still stay very involved today with the PR committee. I've produced several shows over the last 3 or 4 years. It's just a really great community, the theater community in general in Springfield. And for those of you who don't know, we have such a strong community with both the Muni, the Hoagland Center for the Arts, Springfield Theater Center, the Legacy. They're all great venues for people to see theater right in their own backyard. And we have a very talented community as well. My involvement in that mainly started, I did a little bit of that in high school. For the most part, it was our kids that drove that. And I'm very happy they did because it's a very great community and a great family that we've become part of as well. And then in addition to that, with my work at Horace Mann, I'm involved with DSI, which is Downtown Springfield Inc. I'm on their board. And I'm very passionate about Springfield and downtown. We moved here in 1998. It's been a great community to raise a family. Downtown Springfield, there are so many things to do that people just aren't even aware of that there are to do in downtown Springfield, including places to eat, places to go and shop. We're working on some of the issues with downtown, and DSI is doing that. DSI, as you've heard recently, is becoming a 501c3 instead of a 501c6 to try to help with getting grants and try to be a stronger proponent for that Springfield arts community, trying to do more just around all of that. So that's one of the things I'm involved in as well. And then we have something called the Downtown Alliance, which is also just working on trying to make sure that master plan is activated.
How do you relax?
I don't. When I do relax, I usually try to stream some kind of show. I am different from most of my family. They like a lot of sci-fi or action-oriented films. I'm not as prone to watch those, especially if I had the choice. I will watch them with them. I'll watch Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, I still watch Grey's Anatomy. It's been going on forever, but it's just kind of my outlet, my way to relax. I'll watch the Hallmark Netflix holiday shows that you know what the plot is, but it just kind of is a mindless thing that you can watch and get a good feeling, hopefully, or shows that make me cry. I like those kind of connected shows.
What advice would you give folks out there to, with your life perspective at this point?
I'm very laid back and kind of go with the flow. There are so many negative things that are happening in the world today. I would say the best advice I could give people is find those things that make you happy or those things that are positive in your environment and lean on those and try to, yes, be informed and pay attention to what's happening in the world because that is also important, but try not to let that stress you out. Instead, find the joy and do the things that make you feel good.
We've been talking with Michelle Eccles, our morning edition anchor here at NPR Illinois. We are featuring staff throughout the week here on Community Voices. Michelle, thanks for joining us today. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with?
NPR Illinois is such a critical aspect of providing information in the community. We are seeing such a hit on media today. Having places like NPR, please give your support because I hate to see those things go away. We do have different media and different ways of consuming media today with social media and all of that. But there is something to be said for the broadcast aspect of things and making sure that you have reliable people to give you the information that you know they're going out and getting the facts correct, or at least most of the time doing the best that they can with that. And we're all individuals. We all do make mistakes sometimes, but for the most part, that's what we're trying to do. It is not fake media. It is truly a good asset in our community.
Well, sis, Michelle Eccles, thank you for joining us today on Community Voices. We'll hear you in the morning.
All right. Thanks, bro.